You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
We are reminded of the kingdom. Right, the king is the king of his kingdom. And as we've been going through this parable series, we're now on week five, so we've just crossed the halfway point. But to do a quick recap of the parables that we've looked at so far, we started with the parable of the sower. And we saw that in the kingdom of God, Jesus is extravagantly generous with his words. And then we saw that the parable of the wheat and weeds taught us that in the kingdom of God, Jesus sows good seed that produces wheat. But Jesus also explained why there's evil around us, right? That because there's an enemy who also sows something, and he sows lies that produce weeds. And a couple weeks ago, we saw the parables of the mustard seed and leaven, and we saw that in the kingdom of God, Jesus works through small and ordinary means to do great things. And then last week, we saw the parable of the unforgiving servant, where Jesus taught us that in the kingdom of God, Jesus is extravagantly generous with his forgiveness. And as we've been going through these parables, we've been using these five guardrails to kind of keep us on track and keep us focused on what Jesus is teaching through these parables. And we see that the kingdom of God, or the parables are about the kingdom of God, and that they're about the king and what the king does in his kingdom. And because they're about the king and what he does in his kingdom, they are not moral lessons, right? They're not telling us what we should be doing. There's also some really important context, right? When is Jesus speaking this? Who is he teaching this to? And then finally, that there's one main teaching throughout each parable. But as we consider those guardrails, there's one that I want to just re-highlight again today so that we can really focus in. And that is that these are not moral lessons. Because it's really easy to hear any of these parables, but especially the ones we're going to look at today, it's really easy to hear these parables and ask, well, what should I do? Or how is this about me? Or it's really easy to hear these parables and put myself in the place of the king. And that this is about what I need to be doing and not about what Jesus, what the king is doing in his kingdom. And so as we keep that in mind, as we keep in mind that this is not a moral lesson, but about what the king is doing in his kingdom, let's hear these two parables that Jesus has for us today from Matthew 13, where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So as we consider those two parables, I'm going to give you just a few seconds to think, but how would you answer the question, according to those two parables, how would you answer, what is the king doing in his kingdom? Take a moment, just think how you would answer that. As Jesus teaches us the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price, what we see is that in the kingdom of God, Jesus gives up everything for his priceless treasures, right? For sinners like us. And when I say everything, right, I mean everything. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And so what is it that Jesus gave up? Well, the glory that he had before the world existed. We read in Philippians 2 that though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with a God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And Jesus, and we're going to just fly through a bunch of Bible passages. Jesus, so again, what did he give up? Well, he came down from heaven. And then we see that the angel, as he's visiting Mary, says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then Mary gives birth to her firstborn son and wraps him in cloths and lays him in a manger. And then Jesus goes on to live this perfect life, a life that you and I were supposed to live but were unable to live. And those Jewish leaders especially didn't like this Jesus because he was living in a way that was different and he was claiming to be this God. And so they handed him over and brought him before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate, as he heard all of this, he decided that their demand to crucify Jesus should be granted. And so then they lead him to the place that is called the Skull, to Golgotha, where they crucified Jesus as like any other criminal. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he breathes out his last as he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he dies. And then, later that day, some of his friends come and they take him down off of that cross, wrap him in linen, and place him in a tomb. Did you hear what we just did there? Did you hear what we just went through? Right, that was the first half of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Right? And a creed is a statement of belief. The creed itself, those words, exactly the way they're written, aren't in the Bible, but they are the way that the church has said, this is what the Bible teaches us. And so this creed was written 1,700 years ago so that you, the church, would be able to have God's word on your lips and in your head and in your heart to be able to speak what it is that the Bible teaches us. And so we go back then to the original question of what is it that Jesus gave up for me? What is it that Jesus gave up for you? Well, he came off of his throne in heaven and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And as he was hanging on that cross, he was thinking about his priceless treasures. Right? He was thinking about you and me. And as he died, as he breathed his last, he purchased his priceless treasures. Martin Luther, as he is explaining the second article of the creed, he says that Jesus has redeemed me. Redeemed means to buy back. He has bought me back, a lost and condemned person. He's purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. And he didn't do it with money, right? He didn't do it with gold or silver, but he did it with his holy, precious blood. And with his innocent suffering and death. Which leads to the question, why? Why would he do this? Well, as Luther continues, he says, so that I may be his own. So that you may be his own priceless, treasured possession. And that we may live under him and his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. But right, he did that so that you might be his own. But this isn't something new that started with Jesus. This goes all the way back, right? Even Isaiah in the Old Testament was talking, the Lord was speaking through him, and the Lord said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you," right? "I've bought you back. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are my priceless treasure." And so if you've ever felt like you're not enough, maybe you don't think you live a good enough life, or maybe you don't feel like you have enough stuff, possessions, money, or maybe you just don't feel good enough. Hear these words from God to you today, where he says, "You are mine. I gave up everything, absolutely everything for you. You are my priceless treasure." And in those moments where you feel like you are not enough, I have those moments still today. One of the things that I've been kind of using and learning more about over the last few years is something called a breath prayer. A breath prayer is just a short couple phrases where you say one phrase as you breathe in and you say another phrase as you breathe out. So in those moments where you feel like you are not enough, maybe consider this prayer. Jesus gave up everything for me. I am his priceless treasure. And so this morning I want you to pray that. I want you to practice hearing those words. And so five times, whether you say it in your head, whether you whisper it, whether you start off soft and then get really loud, or whether you just yell all five, take a moment and pray these words. Go ahead. Jesus. When you don't feel like you're worth much, remember that value is based on what someone is willing to pay. And Jesus was willing to pay everything for you. He became poor so that you might take on his richness. But this doesn't just stop here, right? It doesn't just stop with you. Not only are you his priceless treasure, but so are those around us. And so as we consider that breath prayer, I want to add one phrase into that, right? Jesus gave up everything for me. I'm his priceless treasure, and so is, and then fill in that blank, right? Put in a name, put in a category. Maybe it's someone you love, or maybe it's someone that you've been struggling with. Maybe it's someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. But as you, we're going to do this again, we're going to pray it five times, but as you do that, put in a name, right? Fill in a blank with a person, with maybe a person who needs to hear this. Or maybe as you fill in that blank, maybe it's you who needed to be reminded that that person is also a priceless treasure in the eyes of God. So take a moment, again, pray this five times and put in a name there. Jesus gave up everything for you. You are his priceless treasure, and so is everyone else, right, around us. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding that one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You are a priceless treasure. Jesus gave up everything for you, and he did it with joy. And so this frees you. Right? It frees you from trying to earn the value that Jesus has given you. It frees you from trying to be good enough for Jesus. And it also frees you to see the people around you through the eyes of Jesus. Not as obstacles or categories or even enemies, but to see them as his priceless treasures. And so let's speak this together. And as we get to the end, say, and so are you, right? But let's say this together. Jesus gave up everything for me. I am his priceless treasure, and so are you. Amen?